Oh, so just to, these are some questions you could ask, okay? You try to start a controversy. You say because, and then you say any wrong thing in the world, okay? Okay. Because Jetsun Kapa didn't write the greatest book on emptiness.
Says who?
No, then you say bad reason, Thakmadrup, right?
Bad
say Thakmadrup. Thakmadrup. Okay, because I start with because. It doesn't matter what I'm proving. If I say because the sky is green, it's wrong already, right? I could be proving why you should buy me a maple donut. You should buy me a maple donut because the sky is green. Then you can say bad reason. It doesn't matter what I'm trying to prove, right? So you just start out with a bad reason. So because Jetsun Kapa didn't write a good book on emptiness.
Bad reason.
Oh, he did write a good book on emptiness. What's that great book on emptiness?
Yimbata.
You telling me it's Gomba Rabsa?
I think so.
No, it's not, because Gomba doesn't mean anything. Then you go like this, you know. Huh? Oh, you weren't here last time. Were you here last time? Gomba doesn't have a meaning, right?
It must have some kind of a meaning because he wrote it.
Oh, sorry. No, Gomba doesn't have a meaning. Gomba doesn't have a meaning, right? Where's Gomba? Gomba doesn't have a meaning, right?
He's arguing about
the. What is the meaning?
True translation.
Yeah, true thought or true intent, right? Okay, true thought. For example, in the study of Chang'e, there are four ways to know that the Lama is not speaking literally. And one of them is, three. One of them is he had a gomba. He or she had a gomba. Like they had something else in mind. When Buddha said, kill your mother, kill your father, there was a gomba, which means his true thought was you should not be attached to your family when you're in spiritual studies. Okay, so that's gomba. Gomba. Yeah. No, it's not, because Rebsel doesn't mean anything, Vilma. Yeah. Oh, Rebsel does mean something?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It means illumination.
Yeah, very clear, extremely clear. Okay? So here's an old debate from Nagarjuna's time. So, what is he illuminating? He's not illuminating, I say because he's not illuminating anything. You just start a debate with a argumentative statement, right? Like with a hot statement, you know? Like he's not illuminating anything with this book. This book is not illuminating anything. Any other book. Okay. Oh, you're telling me it is illuminating some other book? What book is it illuminating? Oh yeah, so it's Chandrakirti's Umalajupa, right? Umalajupa. Say Uma?
Uma.
La?
La.
Jupa. No, it's not, Miss Becky. Quit looking at your computer. Because Uma doesn't mean anything. Oh, so Uma does mean something. By the way, it's not Thakmadru. Say Thak.
Thak.
It's a T unaspirated. Listen to this, okay? Listen. Thak. 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 Two completely different sounds. If you don't get this straight, you'll never be able to translate. Okay, because cheap and jeep will sound. I give you the example. I had some Thai people working for me in the diamond business. We were in Bangkok buying rubies, and there were three companies that helped us: Lear Gem, Real Gem, and Rare Gem, right? And they would come and ring on the bell, and they'd say, "Lil Gem is here. Lil Gem is here." I'd say, "Is it real or Lear or Rare?" And they'd say, "Lil." You know, because to them, it's the L's and R's sound the same to them, you see? So, you know, to you, da, ta, ta, da, na, da, sounds the same, roughly, da. Say, da.
Da.
Ta.
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 Da.
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 Six different sounds. And you gotta learn them. Otherwise, in your mind, it's all Rare Gems. It's all real, you know, and you'll never learn. You'll never learn because they all sound the same to you. We'll talk about that. Anyway, here's a real example. Don't say Thakmadrup. Go Thak. Thakmadrup. Thakmadrup. Thakmadrup means I couldn't get a rope. Thakmadrup means bad reason. So, which one do you want to say? Yeah, thought. Okay. So, we were at, Uma doesn't have a meaning, right? Yeah, thought. So, Uma does have a meaning. What is it? It means what?
No.
Middle.
It means middle.
Middle. Yeah, middle way. Uma. Okay. Uma la jupa. Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, it doesn't, because jupa doesn't mean anything. Juke doesn't mean roach in Yiddish. They used to call me Juke in the diamond business. Hey, Juke. Right? Anyway, what does Juke doesn't have a meaning. Uma la Juke doesn't have a meaning. So Juke does have a meaning. What does it mean?
Enter.
To enter. Okay. No, it doesn't, because that doesn't mean anything in Sanskrit, because it doesn't have a Sanskrit equivalent. The Jukpa. Oh, it does have a Sanskrit meaning. What is it? Avatara. Okay, say Avatara. Avatara. So Madhya Maka. Avatara. Avatara. Entering the middle way. Okay, that's the type. So the full title of this book is Tenje Chembo Umala Jupe Namshe Gombarabse Shijawa Shukso, right? That you should memorize that for the debate ground. That's just what we did last week. That's all we did last week. It's not so much. I mean, in the monastery you might be expected to memorize 3 or 4 pages for the next class. Okay. We'll start with the title. Okay. So it's just Tenche, say Tenche, Chembo, Umala Jukbe, Namshe, Gombarabsa, Shejawa, Shukso. Oh yeah? So Tenche doesn't have a meaning. Tenche. Gail, Tenche doesn't have any meaning. Tamadru. So Tenche does have a meaning. Show.
Commentary.
Yeah, commentary. So any commentary is a Tenche, right? No. Okay. Yeah. No, classical commentaries are called Tenche.
Okay.
Normally. Okay. So Tenche means a commentary that was written in India. Okay. Tenche. Yeah. And there's a long explanation. It means to fix something. Is it a Shastra or a Shastra?
Shastra.
I don't remember anyway. See, that's an example in Sanskrit. If you say Shastra, it means one thing. If you say Shastra, it means a different thing. Shastra, I forget which is which. I think Shastra is a sword, and then Shastra is a commentary. You see? So long A, short A in Sanskrit are important. That's a long story. We'll do that someday. Are we on yet?
What defines classical?
No. Classical means written by the Indian Pandits,
okay,
as opposed to the Tibetan Pandits. So not, you'd be like being, what do you call it? Hubris? If you called your book a Tenche, okay, what do they call it when you translate a Tenche? Do you know? No, what's that called? Translated Tenches are called what? Tengyur. Okay, Tenche Gyurwa. Okay, which means, so the Tengyur in Tibet, the canon, our holy books, 3,500 books from India that were written by non-Buddhas. They were written by normal people. And then what's the Buddha's books called? Kangyur. Okay, so Kangyur and Tengyur are holy books. Kangyur is about 1,000 works. And then 1,500. And then Tengyur is about 3,000. Okay, 3,000 Tenches on the Buddha's own word. Okay, so we're studying a commentary on a Tenche. So Jetsun Kapa doesn't call his book a Tenche, he calls it a Namshe. Right? Which means what? Do you know? Commentary. Like a plain old schmuck commentary. Okay, an explanation. We translated it as explanation, right? An explanation of the classical comment. Gombarabsa, which is an explanation of a classical commentary called Umala Jupa. Okay. Who wrote Umala Jupa? Yeah?
What's that,
Namdhya? Sorry?
Namdhya?
Namdhya also means commentary. Okay. Not much different. In the monastery, Namdhya refers to a particular commentary by Chandrakirti. His commentary on logic. Yeah, sorry, Dhamma Kirti. Sorry. Yeah. So Nam Del, as opposed to, but they're the same thing. And there's many other words for a commentary. Okay. So, okay. We're still not on, right?
We're on in terms of sound. We're just not on. Your computer seems to have a firewall on it that it didn't have last week.
I didn't put it there.
Update.
I couldn't get online all week after the last class, so it hasn't been online.
No.
I haven't been online.
You know, I could upload from the mom house, but I couldn't upload from where I'm living. So maybe there's something weird about the.
He was thinking something from this class when it's done.
Oh, yeah, I probably broke it. Sorry.
No, I don't mind. It saved me a lot of headaches.
Yeah, well, the problem is the class was on Friday, Monday, and we left.
Don't worry. No, don't worry.
Anyway, yes, I'm working on that.
That we do have sound?
We do have sound. We've actually, you've been online the whole debate.
Oh. Well, we just reviewed.
What is the next
one? Well, then I'll just start, and you tell me when you're ready. Okay. We'll just do some orally, okay? I had this great idea, okay? You're in trouble. When I was designing this class, thinking about this class, I had two books in mind. One is Gombarabsa, and the other is called Uma Chidun. Say Uma?
Uma.
Chidun.
Chidun.
And I had this like crisis, personal crisis. I didn't know which one we would do. Uma Chidun is a gong cell of Gombarabsa. What's that? It's somebody's idea about what the true thought is of the true thought. Okay? So somebody's telling you what Tsongkhapa really meant when he was telling you what Chandrakirti really meant. Okay? So it's called the real meaning of the real meaning of what of Madhyamika. Okay, get it? So this is the way, this is called the onion skin theory of commentary. So you have Lord Buddha, and then Nagarjuna, Arya Nagarjuna writes something about him, and then there's about 10 other commentators. We're on like the 12th level now of onion. We moved from Lord Buddha. And they are clearer and clearer the later you get. They are more and more Western the later you get. If I sat down here and tried to teach you Prajnaparamita by Lord Buddha, you wouldn't get it at all. Like, he was speaking to people with way beyond our capacity. And then even in the monastery, not many people read Gombarabsa. Okay? Because Jetsongkhapa is still beyond everybody. So like 100 to 200, 300 years after Jetsongkhapa, there were Tibetans who wrote explanations of Jetsongkhapa. Okay? And to me, those are the most exquisite things you could read. And nobody reads them in the West. Nobody knows how to read them, okay? Because they're written in debate style. They're written in dialectic, you know? It's a debate. Every beautiful point in there is argued as if you were in the debate ground. So people just haven't learned to translate them because they're difficult. Especially because you might start with the wrong idea, you see? Normally you start with the wrong idea and then you go to the right idea very slowly. But it confuses translators. So personally, I think that those books, which are the monastic textbooks, right? So it's like ACI courses. Somebody wrote the first one. And then all the other Dharma groups look at them and say, oh, we need stuff like that, you know? So then like FEMT does a, what do they call it? And Geshe Kelsang Gyatso, I gave him a copy of all the books one day. And then suddenly they have a similar course. You see, so, no, that happened in the monasteries. Like, actually it was Sarah J that started it, I think. I hate to say that. And then Sarah May saw it and like wrote their own version of these textbooks, like an ACI course. So each college, there are six great colleges in the three great monasteries. Sarah May, Sarah J, and then Losaling and Gomang. And Ganden, what is it? Shartse and what's it? Ganden, I forget. What's the other one? Jiangtse, yeah. So there's six great colleges. So each one has their own set of textbooks. Okay, those are incredible. Like no one's been working on those. No one's been translating them. It's the best way to learn Madhyamika. It's the best way to learn emptiness. So I'm faced with this crisis, personal crisis. I can only have one. I can only do one. I can either do Jetson Kapa, who's very famous, and his book is so difficult that no one's really translating it. I mean, some people have done parts. Or I can, and then I don't leave you, then I don't leave behind the great Madhyamika book of our monastery. You see, because it's very hard to translate. So then I decided to go with the big guy, Jetson Kapa. And then when I was sitting here last week, I went home and I figured out, if we work hard, we can do both. Like, if we work really hard, we could translate both in the next 6 years, you know? But then we have to work a little hard, okay? That's the thing, you know? And it's really cool because they clarify each other, okay? And so my proposal is to do both. Like, it's ambitious to do one, but I always try to do more than I can. Then I figure you get done with something smaller, right? So anyway, we'll try to finish both. Okay, so who wrote Umacita? I mean, I'm just going to blab until you get me my text. Say Kedu, Temba, Darge. He's like 16th century, I think 1576. I'll give you the dates later when I have my confuser. But he's the great textbook writer of Serame. Like, he wrote 75% of the textbooks from our monastery. You ready? Oh, you're on?
How well it's working, I make no promises. Please.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Where do I plug into online?
Oh, you are online.
It's wireless.
Oh, it's wireless?
Yeah.
Do you want to...
I should plug it in, yeah. That's mine. Yeah.
Is it live,
though? No.
And do you know how to spell Umacita?
I'm going to spell it for you.
If you want to be on the monitor,
somebody else wants to. Yeah, you guys do that. I'll keep talking. So Uma means Madhyamika. Chi means general, like Chi Chedak. You know that, right? And Dun means meaning. So Chi Dun means it's like what do you call it? I call it an overview of Madhyamika. Chi Dun. Okay. So it's Chi Dun means an overview. And I'll get the text up for you slowly, and we'll spell it and everything.
We'll put it on the...
Yeah, we'll put it on. It's been input by our input people. I need somebody to contact Gene Smith and get a scan. Okay. Because we typed it in. Let me tell you the story of this book. They didn't have any money. They were in a refugee camp in... oh, you have to hit this thing. Are these two things like this? Yeah, and then you... Is it? No.
Function F7. Lower
down. I get thinking about it. You want to try? Oh, we're up. Okay, we're up. So Chidun means... And a Chidun is as opposed to a Tatcha. Say Tatcha. Tatcha means a fine analysis of Madhyamika. So normally, in Tibet, in a monastery, they'll have two textbooks for each subject. So when you study Middle Way, you have a Chidun and you have a Tatcha. So Chidun gives you an overview, and a Tatcha gives you like extensive analysis. And you normally study both. Like, for the perfection of wisdom, it takes 12 years to get through the Tatcha. Okay, and we did it. And then Chidun, Uma Chidun takes 4 years normally. Okay, and this book was printed when they came out of Tibet. A lot of sections were done by memory. They didn't have, they had one original. Pages were ripped up. They were in a refugee camp. They got cow's urine and charcoal and mixed it together. And then they wrote on a rock, a real lithograph. And then they laid sheets of like toilet paper on it, and we studied from those. Like, we had one copy. You had to read it upside down while the Lama was teaching it. And so this has been input from like that. But since then they found copies that got out of Tibet earlier. So and a lot of the textbooks of Serame were saved by the computer project. The monks didn't have copies, no copies, like of Dependent Origination, the 12 links thing. There was no copy in the monastery for like 15 years till we started the computer project, and we saved that book from Russia. Okay, so like that, we'll be studying the Chidin. I think it's the greatest book on Madhyamika. You know, it's unbelievable. So it clarifies Jetsun Kapa's work. So we're gonna just chuck it on both. Okay, here we go. Oh, what's your homework? I want everybody by next class to write out their version in 300 words or less of the first two principles of translation. Okay? Last week we did the first principle, which was what? Yeah, define your audience. Okay? So 300 words or less, everybody. Everybody's going to get a job here. Okay? Everybody who stays here in the next few weeks is going to get a different job. Some people are going to work on drawings we want for the book. Some people are going to work on doing the scans. Some people are going to work on hypertexting. Some people are going to work on getting into different languages, like that. Okay, everybody will have a different job if you stick around. Okay, and then I thought we'd just do the book all together. Okay, and we'll come out with six parts in the next 6 years. So however far we get in the first year, Diamond Cutter Press will print that. And then we'll go like that, okay? So, Elliot, the first job is find me the scans. Okay? Mercedes Law, check the St. Petersburg catalog. See if the books are there. The Chidin. Okay? I made one mistake last time. I told you the two scans we had for Gombo Rabsa were from Labram and Tashi Lumbo, but I made a mistake. It's Tashi Lumbo and Kumbum. Okay, Teshe Lumbo is the first Panchen Lama's monastery. You're going to learn about it in the tantric class. Kumbum is where Jetsun Kapa was born, and it was a great monastery for many years until they were both burned. But Kumbum has a special tree that by tradition has 1,000 leaves on it, and each one had an image of Jetsun Kapa on it. So Ku means body or image, and Bum means 100,000. 100,000 leaves. So they named the monastery 100,000 bodies, Kumbum. So Kumbum is out in East Tibet. So we have two, we're working with three editions. One printed in New York, one from Chicago, one from LA. Get it? Like we have one from Lhasa, one from Tashi Lumbo, which is south of Lhasa, and then we have one from out in East Tibet. So we'll compare the three to make sure we have a good text, which is principle number two. Okay, just to make it easy. Make sure you have a good text. And if you can get different copies of the text, get different copies of the text. Okay? When you're working with Sanskrit, it's a lot more important because they're all handwritten. So there is no standard text. Like Yoga Sutra, we went out and got handwritten copies and palm leaf copies. And we are defining a definitive text. In Tibet, thank goodness they had carving. So you only have to deal with about five different versions of the book. Okay, they didn't have metal printing or offset printing. Okay, so second principle of translation, make sure you have collected as many copies of the text as you can. Otherwise, you can translate the thing and then you find out you have a bad copy. And you just wasted 6 years of your life. Okay, so that's the second principle. Make sure you have a good copy of the text. Okay, get it input. So you can do instantaneous analysis of it. You know, does this word occur later on in the text? Okay, like that. Make sure you have scans in case the input is bad. Okay, in case the typing is bad. So you want scans, you want different versions, you want it typed also. Type is searchable. Scans are not. Okay, not yet. Okay. So you want a good addition. Okay, those are the first two principles. I'm going to throw you a third principle tonight, okay? You've got to love what you're doing. Like, do what you have a passion for. You know, I meet all these people that want to be translators. You know, want to be translators. I want to translate. It's just something they have in their mind. I'd like people to think I know how to translate, you know? But then I say, okay, are you going to put in 10, 20 years of hard work? Do you have a passion for it? Do you really want to do it? You know, you have to like love it. You know, you have to have like, you'd rather do this than eat or sleep or drink, okay? Really. Or you won't be good at it. Find what you have a passion for. and do it, you know? Like, in your life, in general, find what you have a passion for and then do it, you know? And it may be this, it may not be this. By the way, if you don't have a passion and you still want to sit here, it's fine. Okay? And if you don't want to be a big translator, I don't care, that's fine too. But in life, you should find what you have a passion for. Like, what would you cut your arm off to do, you know? And find it, you know? So you got to find the one book that you have a passion about, you know? Like, don't translate something you don't believe in. Like, people in colleges translate stuff, and then they write an introduction that says, this is no good, I don't believe in this thing. Are you kidding me? You're going to spend 10 years of your life on something that you don't believe in? You know, find a book that you do believe in and translate that, you know? So, I mean, you got to have this undeniable... I read Martha Graham's autobiography. It stops halfway through the last sentence because she died. Jackie Kennedy edited it. In there she says, I keep telling my dancers you got to have passion. And then I tell them it's the worst thing that can happen to you. You know, because you can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't think about anything else. You're just obsessed by that. You get this new idea for a new dance. And people complained about her. She said, she was 96 when she died. She lied about her age. She told everybody she was 76. She was doing full splits into the air with the one foot that still worked. Like up to her 80s, you know. And she lied to everybody and told them, because she couldn't stop. And she said she'd go home and she couldn't sleep. She had to drink like 3 gins to get to bed because she was in such pain. But she couldn't stop dancing. It's got to be like that. You gotta have a passion for what you do. And you know, a few people in here will, and that's fine. But I urge you to find what you have a passion for. Okay? How does passion develop? It comes from thinking about what's going to happen if you translate this thing. You see? What's going to happen if you translate this thing? What happens if these ideas get into our culture? What happens if science runs itself by karma and emptiness? What happens if Christianity and Judaism start getting attracted to the idea of emptiness and karma? What happens if business people and soldiers, generals, are running their lives by emptiness and karma? What happens? What happens if Ford and GMC, General Motors, are running off of emptiness and karma? They'd be having competitions to give away cars in the third world, so their stock would go higher. Not because they're nice people. Not because it's moral. Not because it's nice. Because that's the only way to get your stock price up. You see? What would happen if everybody started thinking like that? The third world would get everything they need. And GMC and Ford would be very successful. Like, it's a win-win. You see? It's very cool. If this idea is infected our world, our culture, you can't imagine what would it be like. It'd be like heaven. You see? What if everybody realized the only way to get anything is to give it to another person? What if they became convinced of that? Then what would the world be like? You know? It'd be unbelievable. And this is the idea. These are the ideas. So it's easy to have a passion for this stuff, you know? Man, you get this idea into your culture, what would happen? You see? That's what we are. We're like viruses. This is root level virus. Foundation level virus. You got to have authentic materials that you can turn people onto. Like today, Trace Doubleday, Random House wrote us, you know, like, Christy, you got to write that book. We need the book, you know. And then we said, why are you asking us for books? You have 1,000 books you get every week. They said, yeah, but they're not authentic. You guys got this authority. You know, you have the texts. You have the ancient lineage, you know. So they said, we'll print 10 of your books before we'll print the rest of them. Anybody else's. We don't care if we come out with 10 of your books in a row. And don't come out. The Pope is publishing with this guy. No, the Pope's books are published by the same editor. You know? The Catholic Church's catechism was published by the same editor. You know? And he's like, you have the lineage. You know, you guys have the... So, you can get excited easily. It's not hard to get excited about this text. You know? This is it. This is the greatest presentation of those ideas, you know. So, be a little passionate, okay? Put your heart into it. Think about what's going to happen. If you don't, then you'll never make it. It's a long road ahead. It's a lot of work, okay? You're welcome to hang out. I mean, you can watch the translation come up and think about it. That's fine. But throw your heart into it. If you're going to work on this, like, Go home, memorize the stupid things, you know. Memorize the title, okay? For debate. And then go out on the debate ground, put your heart into it, you know. Like, don't waste your time there. Like, grab a hold of somebody and ask them any dumb thing. Like, you didn't eat breakfast this morning. You know, and then he'll say, Dharmadrum. And then he'll say, well, you can't tell me what you had. Cereal. You know, well, was it good or bad? Good. You can't tell me good into bad. And then you just start like that, okay? But keep your mouth going for an hour. Okay? Don't stop. Okay? Don't stop. All right? Don't sit in the back and, oh, I can't do that. You know? You can argue about anything, you know? If you're close to somebody, you know that. Okay. All right. Can I kill this command prompt thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right, so let's start with the text we're supposed to be doing, and then we'll go to the other text. Yeah. What I thought was, if we get enough pages done on the first one, we'll go to the second one. So that means we got a boogie. Okay. Where are we? Weird text. By the way, you should get this text. Ellie will upload it every day, every class, because you'll get what I worked on. You see what I mean? You'll get it laid out the way I laid it out. So you'll get updated every class on the, you know, you just download it, okay? From, right?
Yeah.
Is there an address or anything? Or?
Oh, download. It's on the bulletin board.
Okay, now I'm going to make this bigger for everybody because my eyes are as bad as yours. No, not that bad.
Ishila,
yeah.
You can see the 100% up there. You can change that to change the size of the text.
Oh, okay. This one here?
Yeah.
Just make it like 200 or
100. Make it 200. It makes it a lot easier to read.
Yeah. Whoa. It might be a little too big.
It's hard to scroll across to them.
Yeah.
150.
150. How's that? I hate that font. Let me make it.
What do I need to do?
The left and the right button, like somewhere telling you why it changes the size.
What do I do?
Okay, so push it forward?
Yeah.
Push it forward, Benjamin, or back?
Forward.
There you go.
That's good. Oh, there you go.
Okay, how's that? So I'll just start translating, okay? And then I'll make comments as I go. Can everybody see okay? For the book, my idea is we have the Tibetan on one side and the English on the other side. But I'd like to put it in chunks, like digestible chunks, so that people who are learning to translate, you could say, oh, like this first part we did together. Oh, denje, the first two words, say denje.
Denje.
You notice some silent letters? You'll learn. Don't worry. How do you learn? Just sit here. Okay? After all, you won't say besten, bestjos. Okay, those first two words are denje. Okay? What is denje? Classical commentary. You see underneath? Classical commentary. What's chimbo?
Great.
What's uma?
Middle
way. What's la? Into. Okay, we don't have to translate that. Jukpa.
Entering.
Namshe.
Explanation.
Gomba.
True thought.
Rabsa.
Illumination.
Shukzal. Here and contain. Okay, see, it's fun. Now, some of you guys will be assigned to hypertexting. It means we will link by computer the thing, Tenja. It'll go like this. Okay, just to show you, I'm not going to do it. Tenja gets treated like that. And then down here we say classical commentary. You see? And then we link that in a computer. And then that becomes this huge dictionary that future generations can use. You see? It's called a contextual dictionary. The idea of a paper dictionary is obsolete. You see? Somebody wants to look up what Tenja means. They'll just push a button on Ted's program and it'll leap to this book. and the first paragraph, and it'll block these two, will light up in red. And then you get to see the word really used somewhere. That's what the Oxford English Dictionary was so great about. That's why the OED is the greatest dictionary ever written for English. They had thousands of people send in note cards saying, this word is found on page 4 of Henry James's novel, blah, blah. It's contextual. You can see what it really means in a book. You see what I mean? Instead of just a dictionary, you see? So, but we need people to link them. You see, we need people to sit here and link them. So is Anthony Digg online?
He's on vacation.
Ah, yeah. Anthony, you're not there. But you are hypertexting, you're in charge of hypertexting, leading the hypertext crew for Umachidan. And then I'm thinking of maybe, I don't know, is Venerable Phil going to be around?
Not till January.
Oh, really? Well, maybe he gets stuck. I don't know. We'll see. Somebody likes this kind of stuff. I know those two guys like this kind of stuff. Anyway, we'll need people to help with that, with the linking. Okay? There's like 5,000 of pages of text to be linked already. That's all the ACI courses. They could be linked and it would be the greatest dictionary of Tibetan philosophy ever written. They just have to be linked. So we'll be working on that. We'll have crews working on that. Okay? Then in the future, if people are translating, the word will just jump up. You see? You put your cursor on Tencha and it'll come up. Okay? And that's what we want to do, but we need bodies. We need people to help. Okay? So anyway, here we go. By the way, this should be. Oh, yeah. If I give it to you, upload it as a Word file, does it mess you up?
No.
Is that right? Okay. So I'm going to start putting in formatting. Okay. There's a principle that I won't mention, or will I mention it? Yeah, I'll mention it. I don't know. We're up to 4 or something like that. You will never have time to go back and clean it up. Never. I've been at Professor Thurman's house, stacked with manuscripts, unfinished translations. Translated, not cleaned up. And he's 60 or something, you know? It's too late. You see? You gotta do it as you go. Like, by the time you finish tonight, the work you've done should be 90% publishable. You know? A little touch-up to do. Like, Beth's worked on How Yoga Works. And, you know, there's a little touch-up, but not much. It's the first pass through, finish it. You might die before you have time to go back. Don't leave messes. Make the translation almost complete first time through. Okay, that's a principle. You will never have time to go back and clean it up. Ask Ellie Law. She did a 1,000-page translation of Luchadana Bhadra, and now we're like looking at it and saying, God, it'll take 5 years to go back. You know? Okay? First pass through should be almost final. That's with anything that you write for publication, okay? Okay, here we go. We're going to save this. I think. Okay. You guys are okay on that, right? Gyatso is extensive. The rest is okay. I'm not going to teach you Tibetan. I'm just zooming through. Okay? And don't worry. Hang in there. What did we say last time? The seeds are planted. Just hang in there. Just sit there. And in a year or two, you'll be able to do it. Okay? All right? Just sit there. I won't explain what I'm doing all the time. Or we won't finish. Okay. Okay, what's this mean? Just hang in there. Just look at it. Enjoy the English, okay? Don't worry about it. I'll give you a little as I go, okay? Jetsu Kapa is bowing down to somebody. Who's gentle voice? Yeah, gentle is Manju. And voice is Gosha. Manju Gosha. His other name is Manju Shri. Okay? This is a big deal, okay? Jetsu Kapa wrote 10,000 pages of stuff. In the monastery, you can debate for 8 hours. You can debate for a month on a single page. Like, it's unbelievable what he wrote. How did he write 10,000 of that? They say he was taking dictation from Manjushri. You know, they say that. They say he was just taking dictation from Manjushri. On one level, he was Manjushri. Otherwise, it's impossible for a human being to write what he wrote. This is only one book of 10,000 pages, okay? So he's kind of, what do you do? He's kind of coming out of the closet a little bit here. You know, he's saying, first I want to bow down to my Lama. Then he mentions Manjushri, okay? Then father and son can Yabse in Tibetan, see Yabse? You know Yab Yum, right?
Yeah.
Which means what? Husband and wife. Which means like holy father and holy mother, you see? So Yabse means father and son, or father and princess and prince, okay? Sorry, I'm trying to get up there. My cursor's not working. Oops. I don't know what happened. Let's see, it's being cranky. Maybe somebody...
BNC.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about Yabse. Say is spelled S-R-A-S, okay? And it means son or daughter, prince or princess, okay? So at the beginning, he bows down to Pakpa Yabse. What's Pakpa?
Arya.
Okay, someone who has seen emptiness directly. And by tradition, there was like only Nagarjuna. Okay? I mean, it's very rare to find a Pakpa. Okay? Maybe in 1,000 years. Maybe Nagarjuna, something like that. Okay? So, Nagarjuna was called Pakpa, the Arya. Okay? Arya Nagarjuna. And then his son is Aryadeva. Pakpa-sa. We'll get there. Okay? But, and then sometimes in Tibet they call Yabse Sum. What's that mean?
The triad
father son, and that refers to Tsongkhapa and his two great disciples Gyaltsebje and Kedubje. Okay, so when you hear Yabse Sum, it you see Yabse is always some big guy with his disciple. Okay, so here Yabse means he bows down first to Nagarjuna and Nagarjuna's main disciple. Okay, because these are the people who started Madhyamika in our world. Time to pull out my battery.
Is it completely hung?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Something else came up. Oh, Microsoft Word is not responding. Should I just kill it?
Wait 1 second first.
Okay.
VNC that's causing the problem.
Okay. I'll keep going. So at the beginning of any work, you are required to bow down to your Lama. Okay. That's just standard. Okay. And, he does that. Then he's going to start into some verses, which is traditional at the beginning. You always do a few love poems to your Lama, and that's the way you start a book, okay? Translation or a book. Nope. Kill it?
Yeah.
Die. I love this part. Am I? The one you sent me. Yeah. Really? It still won't die. In. Oh, battery's fine. Okay, well, you know what I usually do is just kill it. Rarely. But I don't have any. Should I start another word?
You mean?
Control Alt Delete.
Yeah. And then
the T.
Once it shows up, just
click on it. Here you go. Then
what do I do? And then click
Enter. Enter.
Yeah, I like
that. Enter. Die. Huh?
Oh, there it goes.
Yeah. New task?
No.
Just go away. Let's start Microsoft Word again. Should I start it again? What's this Windows test? Can I kill all these things?
Holy cow.
Huh?
That's a control. That's the task manager. You have to kill those.
Kill him? There's another principle. Keep saving your work. No, I have this Mac. My left hand goes Alt F A return just constantly. I don't even notice it anymore. Ever since the days of DOS, you know, just keep saving it with this hand, you know. Yeah. Oh man, it didn't save anything. How much did we get? Oh, that's nice. And die. How do you call it? Oh, we didn't get it. Okay. Anybody save that part, or do I just make it up?
I can read it back if you want.
Okay.
With great respect, I bow down and seek shelter in my holy Lama, gentle voice, and in the realized Father and Son.
Shelter in my holy Lama, gentle voice, and?
And in the realized Father and Son.
Okay. I'm going to put this there. This is what I use for something I want to put a footnote on, because people won't know who the Father and the Son are, right? And we'll get that later. Well, I'll show you how I would look it up, okay? Just to confirm who it is. I go to this dumb little gopher window. You don't have to know it now. Don't get stressed about anything. You won't know half of what I'm doing. That's the way it is. So I say Pakpa. Yabse. Okay? Like, I know Nagarjuna is one, I think Aryadeva is the other one. I just want to confirm it. Okay? So I go, and this is a really cool dictionary. And it's not there. Anyway, we'll do it later. Kyabsu Chiyo. And I clean up the Tibetan text as I go. It has problems. I clean it as I go. Okay, and one more thing. Oh, that's not too cool. Is that all right? Yeah, okay. Now we start some poetry. So now I have a trouble, and you help me, okay? Madhu Dzashe in the second line. Dzashe means a close friend, someone who's like really tight with you. And then Madhu means you don't know that they are. Like an anonymous, someone who takes care of you anonymously. Like you don't even know. Madhu means you don't even know. So how, what are you going to call that? You...
it's in the back that is very nice.
Yeah?
Guardian angel.
Madhu means, well, This is a principle, okay, but don't put it in the principles because it's getting too many. But later. Tibetan and Sanskrit are piles of words. So it says here, world, all, friend, unknown. That's all it says in Tibetan. And then in English, you must put clauses and phrases. Okay? Those of you who know grammar, you better know grammar. You know, you don't say, you are my unknown friend to all the world. You see? You say, you are the friend to everybody in the world, even though they don't realize it. You see what I mean? You make a whole... And then it sounds like normal English and not like translationese. Yeah. So give, stretch it out. Don't be shy. Don't do Sanskrit or Tibetan. Don't do unknown friend, all world, with hyphens between it. That's really bad translation. Translation means translate it. Change it into the person's own language, you see. We use phrases and clauses. You don't say, he's the guy from the store come. You know, you say, he's the person who came from the store today. You know what I mean? You use phrases and you use... So now try it that way. You see, you can stretch it out. It's poetry. You can say, you are what?
Secret world.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. But it's not... See, then there's this principle where there's words for secret and he didn't use the word for secret. He used the word for ma di. Di means you got to know somebody.
You
say? It's like that. Unbeknownst is getting really close.
What's like somebody who donates a lot of money to a charity anonymously?
Anonymous benefactor? Something like that. It's like behind the scenes, but it's a little too colloquial. Okay, anyway, let's see. You are...
Unsung is a poetic word. Unsung?
Oh, humankind, recently. Sorry? A what friend?
Hidden.
Uh-oh. There's a word for hidden, and he didn't use that word. You see, you are a friend.
Unsung, like an unsung hero.
They're not even aware. How's that?
No.
No, you don't like that.
You got everybody thinking politically.
A friend who serves them unknown. Is that alright? I gotta buy it too. Is that alright? Okay, I buy it. Oh, but then you want this parallelism. You are blah, you are blah, you are blah. You see what I mean? What did I say? You are.
You are a friend to all the world.
Comma. Unbeknownst to them. Ooh.
Oh, that actually has a nice.
That came out right. Wow, I like that. Yeah, this might work out. We got one more. You are coming. Okay. Did you notice that quick save thing? Okay, yeah. Just got to be a reflex on your left hand, okay? So just for you guys, just so you know. Oh, and then you got to have a footnote here. Yeah, the I, it's a poeticism, okay? Jiktenmik, say Jiktenmik. I of the world, is this ancient Sanskrit poeticism for the sun. Okay? Then you got to have a footnote. You see, you got to tell the person, this is an ancient word for the sun. You see, the eye of the world. Because in ancient times, they believed that the eye lit up the object. Like, alaka is a word for eye, and alaka, those of you who did the sechu last night, like dipe or alaka sometimes, is, so it was believed that the eye projected the object and lit the object up rather than that you were receiving the object. So it's called the grabber sometimes, or the projector, or the light. It's a very interesting idea that the world is coming from your eye and not to your eye. You see? So the eye was the sun, because the sun is lighting up the world. Okay? Okay, next verse. Oh, so he's going to go through all his love poems to the lineage. So who do we start with? Who's the lord of the able ones? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shakyamuni. Okay, Shakyamuni. Okay. Muni is able ones, right? In ancient times, the word meant to be silent. Mauna is the practice of ritual silence. Like, we kept mauna for 3 years, except when I was blabbing in the quiet retreat teachings. So the old meaning of Muni was silent one. And mute comes from that. But the Tibetans chose to translate it as able one, who's capable. Okay, so we're following the Tibetans right now. Okay, Rabjam. And poetry, usually lay it out like this, because that's the way it was written. I'll give you some fun. Rabjam means, it's almost impossible to translate. Myriad. Okay. It means a hell of a lot. Like when you go out and see the Milky Way at night, that's a Rabjam. Okay, like that. It's a very hard word. Who's his lama? I'll put the cursor on his lama. Jamyang. Jambeyang. Okay. Manjushri. I had a lot of fights about should I put Manjushri or gentle voice, right? A lot of people said that's distracting to me. I don't know you're talking about Manjushri. I don't know that Manjushri means gentle voice. I like to translate everything. Because to me, Manjushri doesn't give me this feeling as a soft voice speaking wisdom in your ear. A soft voice whispering wisdom in your ear. You see, Manjushri doesn't do that for me. And it makes the book feel foreign. And I was reading A Brief History of Time, right? Who's that? Stephen Hawking, right? And he said he went to this publisher. Somebody asked him to write a book about relativity and stuff like that. So he wrote a book, and he had like 15 equations in it. And he went to the publisher and he said, well, here's the book. And he said, take out every equation you put in there, you lose 10,000 readers. You know? So could you cut the equations? You want me to write a book about relativity without any equations in it? So you cut them. Every time you cut an equation, you'll gain 10,000 readers. Which means every time you put an equation in, what? You lose 10,000 readers. Every time you put in a foreign word, you lose a certain number of readers. You don't remember the first day you picked up a Dharma book, and it was all Manjushri and Avalokiteshvara, and you're like, Abalo, and you just skip it. And then if the book has too many of them, you set it down. And you lose those people, and they don't get enlightened, you see? So it's very difficult for a person who's been doing Tibetan or Buddhism for 20 years to remember what a stumbling block foreign words are to other people. It's called Dharmanese, right? No, and why does Snow Lion and Wisdom Publications only print 5,000 copies of their biggest book? It's because it's all Dharmanese. It's all this new language. that you have to be in to read the book, you know. And if you're not in, you can't read the book. Or you get tired after a while and you set it down, because I don't know what, you know, I don't know what Avalokiteshvara is, or, you know. The Tibetans translated all these names. Chenrey Sig means looks at you with love. You know, Jampeyang means whispers softly wisdom into your ear. These were really sexy in Tibetan, you know. They didn't leave it in Sanskrit, okay? They translated it into something that would evoke emotion among their own people. That's what translation's for, in my opinion, okay? And I've had big fights about it, you know, and I think it'll fly in the long run. We'll see. Okay. There's this thing called evolution. The good translations will live. The bad translations will die. You know what I mean? And, you know, we'll see. It's the survival of the fittest, right? Okay, yeah. By my Lama Gentle Voice. What do you call it? It's no equal. What's that word? Unequal. Okay. Unequal. How do you okay. Mm. We call conversations. This is like the idea of the Buddhas are sitting around up in paradise and they're talking about emptiness, and like Manjushri sneaks in and listens, and then he like blabs it to the whole world like a lion's roar, you see. But what's it like, inner secret? It's like a word like conversations or talk or sabmone here, profound condition, you know. Yeah, I like that. It's like a private conversation, yeah. The inner secret whispers?
Whisperings?
Yeah, I like whisperings. Is that okay? Do you guys like that?
Secret innermost. It fits with inner secret. Just the secret, innermost secret.
Inner secret. Whisperings. He doesn't say wisdom.
Who's the inner secret whispering?
Oh, it's coming. Let's do that and then tell me how it sounds. Inner secret. You okay? It's like thing, but I don't want to say thing. Object is too calm. Thing is too vague. It means emptiness, but he calls it the profound state. State? I don't know, I want to say circle, but like it's like a private group. It's like a guy's club or something. See? Is that right? It's like a closed circle. It means like a billion Buddhas got together and started talking about emptiness. We already used inner, that's a problem.
I like to hear gathering. For where?
Well, it means that he snuck into the meeting and he heard about this thing, and then he comes out and proclaims it like a lion. Like,
the Masons have.
It's like that.
Andrew said sphere, and I like that. Is the sphere enclosed? Brought from the sphere again?
We could say inner circle is precisely it. But then find me another thing for up here, inner secret richness. I like inner sanctum, yeah. Brought from the. I like inner sanctum. But then we gotta change this inner. Oh yeah, I like that. Oh, let's do this then. Should I put other billion victors up here or leave it down there?
Leave it down there.
It's too long. Okay, cool. You guys, that's going to be work out. This is going to work out. I didn't think it was going to work out. Okay. Okay, you got it. Who's he going to do next? Yeah. Oh, this one's really sexy. As if they're... don't make sentences too long. I used to take Russian in college, and there'd be this long Soviet praise of worker of the year from Smolensk, you know. And the first thing I learned in Russian class, I mean, when we got pretty good at it, was cut it up. You know, don't drag it on and make it too long. If you're faced, this is one sentence in the Tibetan. We'll be getting into sentences of Jetsun Kapa that last for 2 pages, really. And you just can't do that in English. You have to break it up, feed it to your reader in digestible chunks. Okay, so it was you. This is dusum. Dusum up here means the three times, and we don't say that in English. So I don't like that. I mean, people say, oh, the Buddha's of the three times. But in English, normal English, we'd say the Buddha's of the past, present, and future, right? Something like that. It's more clear. It means more to a person. I did this thing when I started teaching translators like 15 years ago. I got a CD-ROM with all the great books of English on it. And I would search that CD-ROM for words that are current in Dharmanese language, like sentient being. Sentient being hasn't been used in the English language in the last few hundred years, only by one author. Can you guess who? H.G. Wells, in War of the Worlds, uses the word to describe aliens. You see? No, it's just some guy used it once and somebody else picked it up. And see, only 5,000 people in America use that word. That's all the people who are Tibetan Buddhist students. And then it begins to sound to you like a normal word. But it doesn't go with, you can't find it in, I did that. It's a special project out of Chicago called, what's it called? They typed in the classics of the English language. And it doesn't exist, you see? And then that's another stumbling block for a normal person that wants to read your book. You see? Yeah? Who's that?
Robert Cameron.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't sensitive to mean just means a person who is sensitive to other people's wishes. It doesn't mean having. No, you can defend it, but it's not normal English. You won't. I did another thing. I got the New York Times for the last 20 years, and Time Magazine. Search for sensitive being. If it's in there as meaning a living being, I'll use it. It's not. It's one more block for a person who's trying to read their book. How many new words can you introduce into the English language? What's the record? Who holds it?
Shakespeare.
How many words? Five. Five.
Five
new words. Five words that weren't common in the language before he got there. You can't introduce new words into your language. Don't try. Don't think you're going to beat Shakespeare. Okay, really. I mean, people say, oh, people get used to sensitive being. No. No. Few people, like, we went to a retreat. Segway was invented while we were in Segway. And weapons of mass destruction. And no, really, words get very slowly enter a language. You can't, don't think you're going to make up some new word and everybody's going to get excited about it. It won't happen, okay? Really. Use what people use, because you're translating, okay? So these are my pet peeves. You'll hear more about it. Okay, it was you that, you those. It was you that went, oh, those kind of. Now we're getting too far away from the verb.
Didn't you say that you're saving foretold?
Yeah, foretold. How about we just break it? Like, das kann das.
Couldn't you say Buddhism of all time?
It's not as powerful, I think. That's why I didn't say going for refuge up there. Okay? Where was that? Here. Where was that? Oh, here. Seek shelter.
Seek shelter.
See, go for refuge has become a cliche. Try to pep up what you know, pep it up a little bit. Don't just give the Dharma cliches, you know. Buddhas of all time, yeah. In Tibetan, in the monastery, you know how they complain about the dishwasher? They say, Drola Pencher. Drola Pencher. You pick up a dish in the monastery, you know, the cafeteria, and it's all got, you know, yesterday's dal all over it, you know, and you say, oh, somebody washed this Drola Pencher. What's Drola Pencher mean? For the sake of all living beings, you see. But it's such a cliche in the monastery, you see. It means to do something without thinking. You see, oh, Drola Pencher, Sanye Dupa, Drola Pencher, you know, and you're just not thinking about it. So they say when you do something thoughtlessly, you did it for all sentient beings. Don't just thoughtlessly buy what people are using. Pep it up a little bit. You know, that's another principle number 28. Okay. Yeah.
We have a question from the field.
Yeah.
If you're trying to use words you find, terms you find in Time magazine, you know, living terms.
Yeah.
Those gone thus.
Oh, yeah. That's true. You could make it into a phrase, those who have gone that way. But it gets a little long for me. Okay. Let's go next. In the past and present. He's right. Or she's right. Okay.
In that third line, which moment you say, we in the past, the present,
the future?
Sorry? You say, we in the past, the present, the future. The rhythm to living.
I'm trying to get a rhythm. That's all. Living in the past and the present and future. You know, but that. That's all. See how it goes. That's my heart to remember.
Those
kind of.
Fair enough,
sorry?
Those?
Let's do the whole thing, then let me know. Let's see. If you can think of a better one, we'll see. It's Deva Shekpa. Oh, those gone to bliss. Sorry. I know, but I can't use. We'll see. Oh, sorry, I made a boo-boo here. Cut that.
Oops.
Oh, now I got a good one for you. It says here, chakyu means a hook, especially this huge one that they use for elephants on their ear to drive them. They're, if you've ever had a gaff fishing albacore, tuna, it's this huge hook like this big, right, on the end of a pole. And there's this joke in the monastery that like chakyu shot means set your hook. It means if a wealthy Taiwanese person comes or something, you know, make sure you chakyu shot. Yeah. Like, hook this person, you know? It's a joke in the monastery. But anyway, he says, chakyu sung. Tsewa chakyu. Tsewa means love. And sung means pierce me, you know, or poke me, or, you know? Wait, how do you want to do that? It's too. It's like almost sadomasochism ish. You know, it's like, give it to me, man. You know, like, pierce me with your love hook. Yeah? Is it too? It's too East Village, right? It's too East Village. But it's like that. And it means like, rip my heart out, you know, put that hook into my heart and just, you know.
Hook me and take me.
No, but then he calls the hook Tsewa. Say Tsewa? Tsewa means love, you see? Tsewa chakyu means the hook of love. You see? It's like that, but it's too. Yeah, Ellie said hook of your love, but it gets a little. It's too slow, right? It's gotta be like. It's gotta be a shocker a little bit. But not a. Like, not East Village. It's gotta be like. Rip my heart out with your hook of love or something.
Do we have to say hook of love?
Sorry?
Do we have to say hook of love? Can we just rip my heart out with your love? Skewer?
Oh, the word is like it is hook.
By the way, what's shupkyu mean? What's shupkyu mean?
Foot
hook. And that's that Tibetan vowel sign that looks like a hook? It's called the foot hook on the.
What about hook my heart with your love?
I don't know, it doesn't hit me. The Tibetan is almost shocking. The Tibetan is almost like, it feels like.
Steal my heart.
I think pierce is a good word.
It's too common.
Pierce
my heart. I like it. Pierce my heart. With your. You gotta get a hook in there. With your steel hook. With your iron hook.
We had a suggestion back here, which was pierce me with your hook of love.
I like iron, personally. I gotta get some metal in there somewhere.
Yeah, why?
This is going to be a network for hypertexting.
Is that what it says?
I don't just.
You want the strength of iron.
I want, yeah, like I want metal in the guy's body. I don't know. No? You don't buy it?
I'm thinking Christ on the cross.
I like it. Okay. You can come back to me next time.
I mean, the iron.
We got like 15. We're doing okay. By the way, there's some feeling in the Tibetan of by that he will be able to keep, stay with Nagarjuna. You see what I mean? How do we convey that?
Capture.
Yeah. Is that okay? Catch my. Oh, that's even better. Is that good?
Ensnare. I don't know about ensnare.
Catch?
I capture.
What about
seize?
Seize. Seize.
You like?
Seize
is a good word.
Seize? You like seize?
Sounds like a word. Seize.
I like the iron button into my heart.
But it means like pull me in.
I'm recommending that you break it up. Pierce my heart. Capture.
Oh, I like that. Pierce my heart, pull me in or something?
Capture.
Pierce my heart.
Pierce
my heart. Sounds great. Let's see what. Capture. Seize me. Your iron. Real. Rapture. Hate me.
Is beginning to sound
like a romantic
novel.
Is that okay? Do you buy that?
Yeah.
I
buy it.
Okay. We gotta get it going. I don't like capture. Anyway. It's also used for fish hooks. Like that. Okay. Anyway.
So, guess what? That double comma is always a space break, usually?
It's for poetry. You gotta have commas before and after. That's what it is.
You can always spot it in your text.
If you know it's poetry. Yeah. This is cool. Like you're all going to try. We got to put like 20 people on the cover. It's so cool. It'd be a very interesting exercise to me. Anyway, good day. Yeah. This is fun. Yeah, that's the sun, by the way. Okay, that's the Yabse. So we'll go back and we'll go back right now while you're thinking about it. Was that our first footnote? I think so.
Yeah, that was a second. Does footnote earlier. It's down far.
Are you doing it?
At the very beginning, the classical commentary. You realize I had the first one. Oops, I missed that.
Oh, I'm not going to do Tenshi. No. Okay, I'm just going to stick in footnotes like that. And, I like to put footnotes at the back because I don't like them to disturb the flow of the text. Yeah.
The bottom of the page is
Sometimes I do that. Yeah. It's such a huge book that it might be better to do that. We'll see.
Or
yeah.
At the end of a chapter, you can do it.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah. I know. But in some ways, I prefer that.
Because it takes the.
It breaks the flow of the text to me. Then if a person really wants to know, you know, I never look at them. But anyway. I'm going to break it. The idea is that Aryadeva was a hard disciple of Aryanagarjuna. Like, the idea is that... but I don't like the fact that we repeated the words. But the idea is that he got this scoop from Nagarjuna, and that took him up to the heights. And from that point, he was capable of imparting it to other people. You see what I mean?
Too many syllables. Master of terms.
I don't know. Sometimes it means personal advices, meaning something you tell somebody. A lama doesn't say those things in a class. Like they take the person aside and they give them some private... that's what Dampa... It's in Kadampa, for example, the word Dampa here. Can we cut on? Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. It's the old way.
Okay. There's also a mess alliteration.
And I guess the thing and the implication is that he saw emptiness himself, and then conveyed it to other people. You see? Okay. I'm gonna pull out the other text and I'm just gonna show you. We got like 5 minutes left, okay? So we'll upload that text, right? And you can get it that far. So you have an update. You have an update as far as we've done it, okay? We're not doing 5 pages a night. I'll tell you that. We have to go. It's more fun.
How many words is in there? Some of them. I'll just pull
it out. No, I mean.
I can do it now.
No, I mean this text you have to upload so people have the. No, the other one. I'm going to show you how to find the other text, okay? So you're all going to have this. You're all going to have the database if you want the database. This is 300,000 pages that we've input so far, and it's free. And Ellie has it. Okay, you cannot give it to other people. Unless you ask, because some of it's copyrighted, okay, and we can't distribute it legally, okay. It's okay for in-house use, okay, but there are books there that are not.
What about the people who are online?
They're okay if they're in the class. Okay, here we go.
So can I put it on the internet, or should I send them hard copy?
You mean a CD? They can't download the whole thing. It's like 80 banks. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Okay, here are all the categories that are in the database of texts. But the three I want to draw your attention to are these. Kangyur, you see Kangyur in the blue? What is Kangyur? Gyur means translated. Ka means the speech of Lord Buddha translated into?
Tibetan
from Sanskrit. Okay, so that's our canon in Tibet. It's like 1,500 works, okay? How many of those are tantric? Out of 1,500 works that we have from ancient India? About 1,000. I mean, it's pretty extraordinary. Okay. Okay. And then we have Sanskrit. This is Sanskrit stuff. This is Sumbum is what? Sumbum means 100,000 things they said. Boom means 100,000. It just means a lot. Somebody mistranslated Milarepa's book called 100,000 Songs, and we're stuck with it now. But that's another story. Tengyur is the translated commentaries from ancient India. So if I give you a choice, are we going to look for Umachidun, that monastic textbook, in the ancient Indian commentaries, in the Tibetan commentaries, or in the words of Lord Buddha? Yeah, you go to Sumbum, okay? It's a dumb question now, but this is going to allow you to search for stuff, okay? So you hit Sumbum. Now we got like 20 categories. This was invented by the ACIP. It organizes all Tibetan literature. It's very cool. We're studying... I'll give you a few choices. Are we studying Abhidharma, which is Numba? Are we studying mind only? Are we studying perfection of wisdom? Are we studying logic? Are we studying... Uma, okay. It's in Uma. You go to Uma, okay. Uma.
We're studying
him. Yeah, middle way. Then you go to Umachidun. And you have like six different texts there, okay. This is when we printed it in the monastery. We created a lot of new tools for using the text. So these are all different tools that we created at the time. And we published the book, and I took home a case of them. And I said, if I ever have some serious students, you know, and I kept that for like 10 years in this case, you know, I'll try to find it, okay? But we published the Umachidun. So anyway, it happens to be this one here, okay? This 21, okay? Yeah, that's the one, S-O-O-2-1-N. That's the Umachidun, okay? Just to take a look at it, and then we have to stop. What's that thing in the first line? Matibha dipam mahashastra madhya maka batarasya samanya arta vibhashita maka pabhakara bhakaranam biharatisma. It's Sanskrit, okay. We'll tackle that next class, okay. This is the ornamental Sanskrit title. To make it look good, the Tibetans throw in some Sanskrit at the beginning, but they often don't know Sanskrit very well. So we gotta work on it. We're gonna clean it up, and or maybe it doesn't need cleaning, you know. But just to make it look good, 700 years after they stopped using Sanskrit, you know, Kedubtenma Darge is called an ornamental title. It's like if I put a Tibetan title on the cover of our book or something. And it would make it, like we did with the Yoga Studies Institute logo. We left some of the Tibetan there because it makes it look good to Americans. You know what I mean? So that's what they did in Tibet too. And then we'll start. Those of you who want to know, then we'll stop. Right here. Chidun. Okay? Chidun. Why is it spelled Spidun? You have to learn that. Okay? But that's Chidun. We're going to study the Chidun. There's the title. Okay, for you, we're going to study the Uma Chidun. Say Chidun?
Chidun.
Uma?
Uma.
Chidun.
Chidun.
Every monastery has its own Uma Chidun. This is the overview of the middle way. Okay? So we're going to do which Uma Chidun? The best one. From where?
Serame.
Okay. Okay? We'll stop there. All right? Let's do a... Oh, so your homework is just go to the debate ground. And debate stuff, okay? What's the word for hook? Chakyu. Say chakyu. You don't remember if a big sponsor rolls down this road, you're not going to chuck you? Okay? What's love? Sewa. What's a hook of love? Sewa chakyu. You can debate that stuff, you know, like that. Go over the tapes, get a few things.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Well, he was born in the Tsongkhapa of his name.
Well, he was born in near the Tsongkhapa River.
Yeah.
And then later they named the town Kumbum.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then they named the monastery Kumbum. Okay. All right, let's do a... You know, we'll do a mandala. Oh, if you guys are online, if you have comments, questions, things, send them in. And then we'll talk about them when we start next time. Okay? All right. Sashi Bhagi Joshi Medotam Viram Nishi Ninde Kempani Sange Shindu Mite Uwagi Rokun Amda Shingha Chupasho Idam Guru Radha Mandala Kandiyantaya Gewandi Gewogan Samishe Tososhi Samishe Lechungwe Dhamma Kunyi Dopasho. Okay, think of debating things, okay? Who does he bow down to? He doesn't bow down to anybody in the beginning of this book, you know? And then they say, no, he bows down to Lord Buddha. No, he doesn't. He bows down to Nagarjuna. Well, he bows down to both. Well, they must be the same thing. No, Nagarjuna was foretold by the Buddhists. He can't be the Buddhist. Oh, but Nagarjuna didn't have any students. Yes, he did. He had a student. Who? Aryadeva. Yeah, well, what did he do? You see what I mean? And then you go like that. Yeah.
Did you want us to write?
Yeah, I'd like, how many principles? Basically four, I think, right? But I those are not going to be formal, okay? Write me out, we're up to four principles now. Write them out for me, no more than...
You did five formally.
Did I do five formally?
Yeah, keep saving your work for 95.
Oh, okay. Okay, I want those on a piece of paper. Okay, by Monday. Okay. Five principles for translating.